Something that came to me in worship this morning. Being up here is such an honour, you know, because you sing these songs and God is amazing, you know. He is just, and then, you know, and then I put a few words on a page, I'm like, you know, it just, he, yeah, anyway, I can't get words out. I'm not good. Anyway, so I'm going to be reading off my A4 pages this morning because it's, but I just, the, how amazing is God, and we, like, you know, anything we bring just pales to insignificant, really, you know, anyway, all right. At the moment of belief in Jesus, we experience justification. God delivered us from the realm of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. He justified us, declaring us righteous. We were cleansed of guilt, forgiven of sin. The penalty of eternal death, born again, clothed in Christ's righteousness. But, and I know in my life, yes, I'm saved, right? But then there's times that I don't feel Christian. I don't, you know, I still fear. I don't feel like my life's in control. You know, I still sin. You know, I don't feel like Christ at all. And like Paul puts it like this, you know, because, and I'm going to read out of Romans 7, and this is some really hard scripture to read because it's a tongue tie, and it's almost like reading genealogies. But anyway, starting at verse 15, this is what it says. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. And as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. Oh, hang on. No, that's right. But it is sin living in me that does it. See what I mean? It was like when we had, I had a friend, and we used to, when we were younger, we'd like encourage him, peer pressure him into using odd words into his sermon. So just before he'd preach, we'd go, hey, if you can move these words into your sermon, you'll get points. And it was lots of fun. And he had to use it in context of some type, and but I'm sure that's something somebody's done to Paul. There's a lot of do's in that. But anyway, so moving on. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work with me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin. Prisoner of the law of sin within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Paul's like describing this sense of helplessness. There's debate among theologians as to whether Paul was a Christian during the experience he describes. Some look at this struggle with sin and believe it must have been before he's born again. But I think Paul describes a frustration only a Christian can identify with. Before our salvation, we were never in opposition with sin. We were unknowingly the slaves to sin, all along thinking we were serving our own interests. Before our conversions, we were enemies of God. Our struggle was a result of our opposition to him. and his present judgment in our lives. As a result, the faith in Christ, as a result of faith in Christ, our hostility towards God ended, and our new hostility towards sin began. Paul desires to serve God. He agrees with the law of God and rejoices in it. He wants to do what's right, but his body will not respond. He's almost like he's a third person. As sin, signals to his body, jump, and the body responds, how high? Paul finds, as we do, that our fleshly body refuses to obey God and do that which delights God. They quickly and eagerly respond to the impulses and desires stimulated by sin. No matter how much we wish to serve God, in our minds, we find ourselves sinning in our bodies. This experience of struggle, defeat, is something that all Christians will experience. Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The tone of this statement shows that Paul is desperate for deliverance. He's overwhelmed with a sense of his own powerlessness and sinful. One commentator put it, he's breathing, he's panting for deliverance. And we all come to that place, really, I think. Our problem isn't the lack of desire. We want to do what's right. Our problem isn't knowledge. We know what is right. So that deep frustration arises in us as we go round and round, tripping over the same thing, stumbling over the same thing, tripping over that same sin, falling down again and again. Take one step forward, three back. Anybody relate to this? Crying out to, because he in there he was, almost shackled to death. It's a picture of, or it could possibly be a picture of ancient kings would shackle their prisoners to a dead corpse. So you'd be shackled and be dragging this thing along behind you. But he's like, he's just, we're crying out to be set free. So where do we go from here? And this is the, it's amazing. Jesus didn't come. Jesus came, but he didn't just come to die to save us, which he did. Awesome. But think about it. He could have come, saved us, made us right before God, and then he said, there you go. Sort it out for yourselves, but he didn't. He's in us, and he's started a good work in us. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." And then further on in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." We were justified. So that's in the past tense. That's completed. We're done. Like, that is all done, right? But then we move into this area of sanctification, which is a process. It's in the present. It's a lifelong process of growing and God working in us. It's not our strength, it's God working in us. We can, you know, we feel like nothing's happening, but God's always doing something in us. There's an amazing promise in Ezekiel, in chapter 36, and it says this: I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit with you in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's amazing. Like, you know, God knows me better than I know myself, and I'm broken like everybody else, you know, and to have that promise of a new heart. God's working on us all, changing our thought patterns, the preferences of our sinful natures, so that we will love what he loves, rewiring our brains to patch and patching together our emotional wounds. The Holy Spirit works to remove our selfishness and develop qualities in us that are more and more Christ-like. You know, and because it's a process, it goes on until we go home. You know, so be encouraged. You know, if you're looking at your life and thinking, well, I feel like I'm further away from where I should be than when I first got saved, be encouraged, because it is a process and it is going to go on for the rest of your life. Sorry. You know, and I guess that picture, God is in control. You know, it may not look like it. Stuff might be happening in your life, but God has got that car and he's in control, you know, and he knows what he's doing in your life. It says in 1 John 3, beloved, now we are children of God. And so justification. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. When his work in us is complete, we shall be like him, perfect, conformed to our Saviour's likeness. And like the other thing that came up while I was studying for this is, so God started this work, and because God is so faithful, he will finish it. You know, look at nature, look at creation. Sorry, there's nothing that God started that isn't complete. So my sister had a little boy the other day, and I was looking at his fingers, and have a look at your fingers, the back of your hand. See the wrinkles across your knuckles? Yeah? You come out of the womb with them, you know. They're not stretch marks. They don't come later. Some people might have more wrinkles than others, but in general, you'll have wrinkles across the... And it's just this beautiful picture of completion, you know, because it's there, you know. The fingernails are there. It's just... Anyway, You know, but there's... God finishes what he starts, and he will. So be encouraged, because we are justified. We are being sanctified. And one day, will be perfected. So Paul, you know, is acknowledging that state of struggle that we're in. But he thanks God for the victory in Jesus, you know, because he's in control.